Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour is on here at American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by a man that needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. It's Dr. Peter McCullough, board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and clinical lipidology. He cares for advanced patients with common medical problems, including heart and kidney disease, lipid disorders, and diabetes. He's become an expert on COVID-19 illnesses and welcomes recovered patients into his practice. His Twitter is P_McCullough MD. His website can be found at PeterMcCulloughMD.com. Welcome to the show, doctor.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. We have a lot to talk about. I've saved all of my COVID stories here, but you're the expert. What is the latest? I mean, we're seeing so many safety signals, and the Pfizer boss is being asked to testify, and he's refusing. Are things reversing in the way that they seem like they are? Is the tide shifting here?
It is, and you know, it's shifting with data. Today, breaking paper on my Twitter feed. First author is Mark Skidmore, social scientist at Michigan State University. A valid representative survey of Americans and what's happened with their friends and relatives in taking the COVID-19 vaccine. And social sciences can estimate when people talk to other people and how often does this communication spread. It's actually quite a sophisticated set of formulae. And this was published in British Medical Journal, Infectious Diseases, so a prestigious journal. Conclusion, I mean, the bombshell is, to up until December of 2021, 1 year of the COVID-19 vaccine pandemic in the United States, estimated number of vaccine deaths, this is stunning, 289,000 in the peer-reviewed literature. And so this is very cohesive with the VAERS system, you know, the vaccine adverse event reporting system, which is an underreport. Through that time frame, there were, you know, several thousands of reports on VAERS through that time frame in December of 2021. The current accepted underreporting factor from VAERS, because if we don't have the vaccine card, we don't have all the data, the doctor can't get things entered, the coroner, you know, there are so many reasons why deaths don't get into VAERS. But the current underreporting estimate is 30. So if it's 30 times at that time, roughly 8,000 or 10,000, it's cohesive. We're still at about 300,000 deaths. So VAERS, the social sciences, we now have VSAFE. We have a Zogby survey in the summer. And then the other thing, over the holidays in December, late December, was the Rasmussen report.
Right.
And the Rasmussen report, again, a valid representative survey, asked Americans, do you have someone in your family or friends or school or work social circles who's died due to the COVID-19 vaccine? Answer, 28% said yes.
Yeah, horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. So 200,000. And again, because we talk about this all the time, VAERS is so, it's rare that actual, you know, things get put there. Doctors will say, well, we're not sure it's the vaccine, so we're just not going to report it. So, I mean, if you had a high-end estimate of what you think the actual number is, I mean, do you think 200,000 is about accurate?
Well, that's through December 2021.
So that was just the first year, right? So we got a whole nother year.
Oh, my God. Current estimates are in VAERS that we're at roughly 16,000 Americans have been reported and certified by the CDC as dead.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, CDC actually verifies these. The timing is known. So we're now, because the tail is growing, the timing is known. And in the U.S. Senate testimony on December 7th, 2022, Liz Wilner, who is the developer of the Open VAERS overlay, she testified, actually on my request, I co-moderated the panel with Senator Johnson. The estimates are about 16,000 Americans have been certified by the CDC and have died. And the 22%, I believe, are in the first 48 hours. And then, you know, so it's very tightly temporally related. People take the shot and they die. 86% of the time, we know from prior studies, it's a doctor, a nurse, a coroner, a vaccine administering person, maybe somebody at CVS and Walgreens. They feel so obligated. The person is dead right in front of them. They report. So it's very acute. If the underreporting factor is 30, and it's 30 times 16,000, the current estimate as we sit here today is north of 450,000 Americans have died due to COVID-19 vaccination.
And that's just in the first 2 years. That's not because we know these don't go away after 2 years, right? The effects of the vaccine are permanent in your body. So, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, people will still be dying as a result of the vaccine.
You know, we don't know. There are reports, I mean, with a messenger RNA, we know more. A report from Stanford by Rolkin and colleagues showing the messenger RNA is not getting out of the body. It seems to be stuck in lymph nodes. The critical thing appears to be the 3' and 5' nucleoside analog caps. They're synthetic chemical caps on the end of the messenger RNA. So it's not dissolvable like human messenger RNA. It's staying in lymph nodes for months. And then the work by Bruce Patterson at Incell DX, former pathologist at Northwestern and Stanford, doing brilliant work showing that both the S1 and the S2 segment, the full-length spike protein, is in the human body, stuck in CD16 monocytes as far as he can tell after vaccination.
Horrifying. And then, of course, you know, that's not even including all of the injuries and the side effects, from blood clots to, I mean, you name it. They really can't keep a lid on this much longer, can they?
They can't. In fact, the FDA is signaling us. This is interesting.
Right.
On my Substack, there is a paper by Wu and colleagues from the U.S. FDA. It's from the FDA, published in the peer-reviewed literature. Now, it's focusing on the Janssen vaccine, which is a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, very similar to the AstraZeneca adenoviral vaccine, which has now been mothballed.
Yeah, I got pulled really early, actually.
They withdrew their application to the United States, but now it's been mothballed elsewhere. By the way, it's made by the same manufacturer. Janssen and AstraZeneca are made by Emergent BioSolutions outside of their defense contractor outside of Washington, D.C. But what they reported in this Wu paper is stunning. They report on thousands of blood clots that have been reported to the FDA through the agencies. And they are reporting ankle to hip blood clots in people.
God.
This is not postmortem. This is in people. 11% are fatal. This is the FDA publishing this.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess all I can say is thank God I never took the vaccine. I mean, I can't imagine what that would even feel like.
It is a nightmare. In my practice, I have patient after patient, these extensive blood clots. We see them by ultrasound. I currently have one that's 14 inches long in my thigh. We are using blood thinners, and to my dismay, the thrombi are not resolving on standard blood thinners, whether they be novel anticoagulants or warfarin. We're now using additional blood thinners on top, so I'm worried about bleeding. But these blood clots, they've been examined, and they have the spike protein, which is generated by the vaccines, in the blood clot. And the spike protein folds and becomes amyloidogenic. Amyloidogenic is important. There are probably about 36 proteins that are known to fold in the human body. And when they fold, they take on a rubber-like physical
consistency.
They're rubber-like. And that is what is being described in these pathologic specimens. Now, the coroners are reporting this. The undertakers are reporting it. I think most of it is post-mortem development of it, but the concepts are the same.
Well, and I've seen some of it, and they do look rubbery, and they look unnatural, and it's incredibly creepy. We'll get into more on the other side. Dr. Peter McCullough is with me. Don't go anywhere, folks. He's here for the remainder of the hour. This is the American Journal, Infowars.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Peter McCullough is my guest, and boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about. I mean, just the number of things we covered here in the break that we got to get to. We were just talking about Damar Hamlin, so let's just jump into that because obviously, well, apparently he's back, he's better, he's okay. You basically hit the nail on the head the day that it happened, that Damar Hamlin, Bills player, collapsed on the field. Tell us what you saw there and what allowed you to come to the conclusion that he would be okay and survive. And do you think it's really him out there? Because you can't see his face. We had a caller about this yesterday. I thought it was ridiculous, but I've seen it all over Twitter today. Nobody's seen his face, and nobody, you know, people don't know if this is the real guy or not. What's your read on this?
I tell you, there's no limit to the speculation.
Right.
I'm a big Bills fan. I was watching it live. A lot of my friends were, so we were kind of texting each other when things happened. And, you know, within 24 hours, I was got called on Fox News primetime. I went on with Tucker Carlson, and I completely laid out for America what happened. And I did so correctly after we had 24 hours of media commentators and doctors that were just absolutely lost their minds. So the first thing that people came out and said, well, it's because he tackled somebody and was a blow to the chest.
Right.
Well, there, the medical term is called commotio cordis. It's never happened in the NFL because they wear chest protectors. It happens in an unprotected sternum getting hit with a baseball or a lacrosse ball, perfectly timing the cycle. And the cardiac arrest is classic. They get hit in the chest, boom, they're out. It's good on. There's no recovery. We don't get up, they go down. So commotio cordis was ruled out by mechanism immediately. Then the next thing that people said is, well, it's not due to the vaccine. I'm going to say, wait a minute, nobody's given his vaccine says. How do you know it's not due to the vaccine? So what I explained is that the athletes are screened. They're screened ahead of time for the most common cause of cardiac arrest, which is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. They're screened out for that before they even play. They're screened out for major valvular abnormalities. They have cardiopulmonary stress testing. They know the heart rhythm is stable through exercise. Much is known about these players ahead of time because it's a big dollar industry.
Sure.
And the NFL actually has a very good safety track record. They really do. Last cardiac arrest was, you know, decades and decades ago. So knowing that he doesn't have these things,
right?
The straight line is this, that the White House and DHS in 2021, spring of 2021, announced the COVID Community Corps program, which is $13 billion of our taxpayer money going out to organizations to push the vaccines.
Right.
So it went to Hollywood. It went to nearly 4,000 media stations, churches, Black and Hispanic groups, and prominently the NFL.
Right.
So the NFL takes our money to push the vaccines on the players. So the NFL starts to think about how they're going to do this. June of 2021, the FDA comes out and says, the vaccines cause heart damage. Mm. They cause myocarditis. I'm a cardiologist. With myocarditis, our guidelines say we cannot let players play sports because it can trigger cardiac arrest.
Right.
So that's the reason why it's in our guidelines, because myocarditis can trigger cardiac arrest. So here we are in the summertime. The NFL says, well, we're going to have a mandate. Summer of 2021, the Players Association says, we don't want this. There's a tug of war. NFL says, you have to take them. So they run a vaccine mandate from August of 2021 through March of 2022. And then the NFL drops the mandates, no explanation. No more testing protocols, nothing. As if COVID doesn't exist in March of 2020.
Right.
The most astonishing thing. And they claim 95% of the players took the vaccine. Importantly, those who didn't take the vaccine become these notable standouts. You know, Cam Newton basically loses his job at the Patriots. You have Aaron Rodgers, who underwent tremendous vaccine discrimination. He discloses on Joe Rogan. You've got, prominent player. You know, Josh Allen didn't take the vaccine, and Bill's quarterback. You had Cole Beasley. You know, so there's roughly about 10 marquee players who publicly said they're not taking the vaccine.
Right.
Probably because they're old enough and strong enough and big enough to say they didn't. Assuming 95% of all the other players took it.
Right.
We have this situation of the straight line. The vaccines cause myocarditis. We now know two studies, one by Mansugian from Bangkok, Thailand, and one from Lepesic and Mueller at Basel, Switzerland. Two very good studies, shot two and shot three. 2.5% of people taking the vaccines are suffering heart damage, 2.5%. And of those, half of them don't know it. They don't feel it. So you take a shot. You think everything's okay. A small amount of heart damage is occurring. It makes a small scar or an area where there's some slowed conduction. Under the right conditions, predominantly a surge of internal adrenaline, the electricity can go through the scar and then around it. It's called a reentrant ventricular tachycardia. Those in healthcare will recognize that. VT, the ventricular tachycardia, then quickly can degenerate to ventricular fibrillation. And when you look at what happened to Hamlin, he has this tackle. Obviously, it's a big game. It's early in the game.
Right.
It's not dehydrated. It's not heat stroke. It's cold.
And he gets up after the hit.
He celebrates almost to adjust his helmet, and then he goes over. That was the VT event. He goes into ventricular fibrillation. The team rushes out there. They actually quickly recognize what's going on. They give some CPR, but it's hard because they have their breastplate protector.
Right.
But the main critical thing I knew is they got the AED on. The AED said shockable rhythm, shocked. I saw a little bit of motion afterwards, and I knew it was going to be okay. He actually got shocked into the normal rhythm. Probably quickly established a return of spontaneous circulation, heart rate and blood pressure. They waited to pick up his mom and the paramedics. They go to the hospital. He underwent therapeutic cooling, intentional medicinal coma. brought him out of it. There's a picture 3 or 4 days afterwards where he's on oxygen. And people were asking, why is he on oxygen? I said, that's common. He may have aspirated some. He probably just drank some Gatorade and some fluids. He may have aspirated some of the fluid into the lungs. Or he may have had some rib contusions or fractures for the CPR.
Interesting. So, and so his heart probably stopped on the field and was restarted with the
AED. So it was probably almost certainly ventricular tachycardia, ventricular fibrillation. He's defibrillated. In the hospital, they quickly rule out things like, you know, electrolyte abnormalities. They get an echo. They know he doesn't have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, their valvular disease. He had other things to do. He needed angiography to make sure he didn't have anomalous coronaries. And then the key thing is cardiac MRI. The cardiac MRI should show the telltale signs of vaccine-induced myocarditis.
And of course, if he hadn't taken the vaccine, we would have heard that right away. They would have come out and said he didn't take the vaccine. There's no way. The fact they didn't say that makes me think he did. And of course, the 95% is a pretty good bet. Anyway, so I guess the answer to the question is, do you think it was really him? Do you think it's really him that went to the Bills game?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of, I saw the clips and I was like, why is there all this secrecy? So I tweeted out today, I said, gosh, you know, if he's wearing a mask and he's potentially ill, maybe he has a cardiomyopathy and heart failure now, or he's had an aspiration pneumonia, or he's had a freshly implanted ICD. Remember, we haven't heard any updates. And the bulky jacket could be, if he hasn't taken an implantable ICD, that he's wearing a life vest. Now, that's standard of care.
Okay.
The life vest is what allowed him to leave University of Cincinnati. Now, you see him moving his arms up and down. To me, that tells me he doesn't have an implantable ICD, because we tell patients, don't do that because you'll pull the leads out of the heart.
Yeah.
So he may have a life vest on, which is like a fishing jacket, but it senses the heart rhythm and can defibrillate. The chances of a repeat arrest acutely, and we've published this, Thompson and I published this in the American Journal of Cardiology in 1998, the chances of a repeat arrest acutely were 50%.
Oh, wow.
And then this progressively goes down. But the etiology of what he has must be known. It's interesting. If he had a knee injury, they would say the MRI shows an ACL repair. Well, listen, it's a cardiac injury. They should report what the MRI shows. And I've made the case that Hamlin, his family, the Bills doctors, the NFL, the medical center doctors, it's a public health obligation that they report his vaccine status. Why? Because other people are at risk. And I've been asked, Dr. McCullough, well, what would they do now anyway? You know, they've already taken the vaccine. I would say that indeed, if this is the what's called sentinel case, that they would reinstitute what the Big Ten Athletic League had during the first year of the pandemic. Daniels et al. Published in JAMA a program where the athletic league for COVID, they actually had sequential multi blood testing, EKG, cardiac MRI. They were screening for myocarditis. They found a handful of abnormalities. I think it was somewhere between 4 and 6 adjudicate cases, but no hospitalizations and deaths, and certainly no cardiac arrests. COVID-19 itself doesn't do this, but the vaccine does, and the players should be screened.
And yeah, why would you not want to know that? At least so you're prepared in case you need to react. And that's what I was saying when I first saw it. I thought, man, I bet those players are nervous now. And you see that happen to your friend. I mean, it was a tragic thing. It's sort of a traumatizing thing. I would hate to be a player on the field having gotten the vaccine. All right, folks, welcome back. Final segment of American Journal, InfoWars.com, band.video. Remember, you support everything we do here by going to InfoWarsStore.com. We actually have a new sale. The Ultimate Bone Broth Plus is back and 25% off right now. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. This just started minutes ago. Do not wait. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to get Ultimate Bone Broth Plus. It's back and 25% off. And, of course, it helps us to do everything that we do here at InfoWars, like get the incredible guests that we have, such as my guest now, Dr. Peter McCullough. He's on Twitter at P_McCullough MD. His website, PeterMcCulloughMD.com. Again, just the breaks that we have, and we talk about so much, and then I'm like, okay, what do we need the people to know? We just talked about Damar Hamlin a lot, but he's not the only example of famous people, prominent people, people in the media that have potentially suspected been vaccine injured. Can you talk a little bit about...
Well, the very first one was Hank Aaron, former baseball great, takes the vaccine, January 2021, a few days he's died. That was notable because the press release for him taking the vaccine and then the press release from his death are disconnected.
Right.
They don't... It doesn't... The one for his death doesn't mention the vaccine. So they started early. The press started early saying, listen, well, let's not link them. But we've had notable cases, Marvin Hagler, We've had a CNN correspondent who died an allergic reaction, a legal correspondent, and it's gone on and on. Notably in sports, so people can relate. Bruce Arians, former coach of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, pushing the vaccine, saying it's the only way to come back. You know, people who tweet out pushing the vaccine assume they took it themselves. He said all Bucs and staff took the vaccine. So he's 3 or 4 shots into it. October of last year, Bruce Arians hospitalized for myocarditis. We have Herb Kirchstreet, ESPN announcer, gets COVID in 2020, says the only way to come back is take shots. So he's tweeting out he's taking the shots. Pulmonary emboli, blood clots in his leg, shoot to his lung. He can't go to the NFL draft. Our favorite weatherman, Al Roker, gets his first shot with a doctor on TV, and he's asking if it's safe. The poor guy's asking if it's safe. We love Al. Everyone loves Al. He takes 3 or 4 shots, gets COVID in the summer, hospitalized twice for blood clots that shoot to the lungs. When you get hospitalized, we're talking it's near fatal.
Right.
So the cases go on and on and on. And what I've said, and lead cardiologist in the UK, Asim Malhotra, have said, is that, listen, you know, until proven otherwise, these are due to the COVID-19 vaccine, because the autopsy studies show. There are new 2 autopsy studies worth citing. Schwab and colleagues, Heidelberg, Germany, Chavez from Colombia, 2 separate parts of the world. And when they look at people who've died after the vaccine and they examine the organs, 70 to 80% of them have something readily identifiable due to the vaccine, like a fatal blood clot, heart damage, neurologic brain bleeding, hemorrhagic stroke.
And it's horrifying. That's one of the things, I know we talked about this during the break, but I see on Twitter a lot, people act as though we're celebrating this fact. Like we spent the entire pandemic begging people to be careful about the vaccine, to not take the vaccine. They take it anyway, they get hurt. We're not happy about that. We tried to prevent this, and yet people portray it as if us talking about the fact that it was the vaccine that caused this is somehow us reveling in the fact these people are getting hurt. We desperately tried to stop them from getting hurt, and now we're trying to use their example to stop other people from getting hurt. And yet the portrayal of us, well, I'm an anti-vaxxer, us anti-vaxxers in the media is as if we somehow like that people are getting hurt by vaccines. Can you just address that?
You know, and full disclosure, I accepted all the vaccines. I took all the vaccines through my career. I traveled to India. I took more vaccines. My kids have taken all the vaccines. I took them all up until COVID. But like some of the listeners, the CDC says only 17% of us did not take the COVID vaccine. Now, in that 17%, I can tell you, myself and you and others, you think it's probably the best health decision we've ever made.
Oh, my God, I'm so happy. I just
think that to know something's inside the body, it doesn't get out, that there's a potential fatal blood clot, there's a potential cardiac arrest, it is so uneasy. You know what we see the psychological reaction being? People say, I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Because it's so psychologically unnerving to think that you can't undo the vaccine.
Oh,
but
God.
No, we have full compassion for these people. Most of them actually took it because they were forced to, because of mandates. It wasn't their choice. They didn't think it was a good idea. My practice is full of patients with myocarditis, heart damage, blood clots, and we're doing everything we can. I would say one additional thing. When there is vaccination and there's multiple exposures to the spike protein, and then there's COVID on top because the vaccines don't work, people are getting COVID, I'm seeing complications that are accruing with multiple exposures.
Right. You actually almost described it as a synergistic combination of the COVID-19 virus and the vaccine. And just one is bad, the other is bad, but together what happens?
It's true. I had 2 ladies in my practice about my age, a little bit older, take the vaccines in 2021. And that's true. Many people have done that. So listen, I learned they're bad. I'm not taking any more. And then they get COVID in 2022. And then a few months later, blood clots.
Right.
And I've seen this now. This is exactly what happened to Al Roker. And whether the viral infection preceded the vaccines, like Herb Kirchstreet, or after, like in these ladies or Bruce Arians, we're seeing this cumulative exposure. So it's still important to prevent the illness. Most important thing to do is to use virucidal nasal sprays and washes, dilute povidone iodine, dilute hydrogen peroxide. When COVID-19 is contracted, immediate early treatment.
Right.
I mean, one of the big benefits of early treatment is we don't get the invasive disease, and we don't, you know, let the body run in this inflammatory procoagulatory state that prompts these blood clots.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So, because one of the other things that we actually just read a study on was they for a long time, we've been hearing that the COVID-19, the disease, may have caused myocarditis, but that's sort of no longer considered legitimate.
Well, we've had data weigh in. So we have a period of time before the vaccines. So
right.
We can't blame the vaccines in 2020. Good papers there to Valley and colleagues from Israel, hundreds of thousands of individuals with COVID. No elevation of myocarditis above the baseline. Now, it is possible the viral infection can cause myocarditis. Ralph Baric showed that in beta coronaviruses in animals in 1992. That's the reason why everyone was geared up to do this. The military had a screening program, and the Big Ten College Athletic League, they found a handful of cases, none of them consequential. Nothing like the fatal cases we're seeing now. In cardiology, in our best journal, Circulation, Pitone and colleagues have published and reported 100 fatal cases confirmed and written on the death certificates. We have U.S. fatal cases reported by Gill, by Verma, and Korean fatal cases by Choi. These are autopsy, necropsy, proven fatal cases of vaccine-induced myocarditis. The consent form should have been changed a long time ago to warn Americans
right.
that they can take the vaccine and suffer fatal heart damage.
And of course, you look back in history and you see the swine flu was pulled after, what, two or three deaths, right?
About 25 deaths.
It
rose to 53 ultimately, and about 550 cases of Guillain-Barré. So Guillain-Barré was really driving that. But remember, there's no VAERS. There's no Twitter. There's no Facebook. It's just good old common sense. People are being harmed. Doesn't matter what the benefit is. If people are being harmed, we cannot let anyone die after a needle in the arm. It's unacceptable.
And so how do you think they're going to respond to this? Because we sort of see it all unraveling. The Pfizer boss is being asked to testify to the EU. They were shocked when they heard that Pfizer never tested for transmission. Now he's being asked to testify, but he's refusing. He's kind of on the run. CDC flags possible safety issue with updated Pfizer COVID-19 booster. You're talking about the FDA coming out with information. I mean, how are they going to handle this moving forward, do you think?
They've got nowhere to hide. And I tell you, the longer they continue to stonewall investigative committees, reporters, the deeper they get into this. You can see some people have already figured this out when Deborah Birx came out last summer. And she goes, we knew these vaccines weren't going to work. She's already
right.
starting to do this. You can see what Fauci's doing. His first deposition, he goes, well, I can't recall. Can't recall, translate, probably scapegoat.
Yeah, I think so too. And we saw everything from the lab leak to the vaccines. I mean, it really is all coming apart. But maybe you're worried about nothing. According to the Express, blood clots are caused by eggs. I mean, what do you think about this? The fact that they're coming up with all these different excuses for what we're seeing.
Oh, the worst one was an essay. You guys will find it. This is amazing. Damar Hamlin's cardiac arrest. No, someone really wrote this. They said Damar Hamlin's cardiac arrest is indicative of black violence in America.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
this is
stunning. Like, it's more violent for one skin color than
right.
Another.
Well,
I mean,
specifically in the NFL, too,
in the
right?
NFL,
yeah.
Right. So it's a reflection of black violence in the lives of African American men. But when people write this type of stuff, or they say it's due to climate change, or this normalization, this normalcy bias. Oh, children have heart attacks too.
Sure.
Columbia University Medical Center in New York put out this little cartoon, nice cartoon story about a little girl. She takes a vaccine, she gets myocarditis. She goes in the hospital, she goes on ECMO. She goes on a life-saving, extracorporeal membrane oxygenation therapy. And then she recovers. Like, this is a good thing. When that happens, you can tell the human mind and the groupthink is really disturbed.
It absolutely is. And again, like, I take all this very seriously, but at a certain point, you have to laugh at the absurdity of them trying to cover up a lie this big. It's not going to work. It's all going to come out. And Dr. Peter McCullough is going to help it all come out and hopefully one day hold these people to account. Again, you can follow Dr. McCullough on Twitter at P_McCulloughMD. His website is PeterMcCulloughMD.com. And I believe you're going on the Alex Jones Show later today, right?
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, stay tuned, folks. The Alex Jones Show begins in about 1 minute. That's going to do it for us here at American Journal. Thank you for tuning in. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com to support us.
The establishment has chosen this show as the example. If they can take down this show and close its doors, then they come after me, and they come after every truth teller and whistleblower on the planet. It sets a precedence, and we have to be aware of that. And so this is a fundraiser to keep not just this show open and alive, but to literally save all of the work that we're all doing together. So I'm concerned, and I'm here in support of this because I know that the trickle-down effect will reach me really quick if they succeed in their agenda to take down Alex. And so I was telling him that that's why I'm here today, and he wanted me to express that because it's so important. So if you're sitting there and you love Alex, you love the show, or you don't, you know, I don't agree with everything Alex has said and done. I'll tell you that right now. I'm sitting here.
I don't either.
I don't agree with everything I've said and done. And it doesn't matter. It's the majority of what has happened through this studio, through that man's voice, long before most of us was awake, has been proven. A great deal is accurate, as the tagline of this, Alex was right. And it's so much of what this man has said has proven to be accurate, some bombastic, some over the top, some crazy stuff that has happened. He's a showman. I get it. I'm saying that sitting right next to him. I'm an authentic person when it comes to my friendships. But I will say that I'm here in support of this truth teller and this whistleblower, and it affects all of us. There's a lot of people sitting on their money on a lot of funds right now. And what I tell a lot of our donors is that our money won't be worth anything very soon if we don't take this very seriously. So sitting on your fortunes is a very stupid move right now. Support people like this, support InfoWars, and understand that this is literally the ground zero for the survival of free speech.